Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Indict one, indict all. Those words from Victor Davis Hanson that made the statement that it's the indictment of Trump, but it's also an indictment of all Americans. Every Christian, every conservative, every patriot, we have just been indicted. Our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, all of our founding documents have just been indicted. Ladies and gentlemen, and that is simply the fact of what is taking place. I've used the term that what we see taking place with Donald J. Trump is a mirror image of what took place with the Lord Jesus some 2,000 plus years ago, where Jesus was charged with 3 crimes, treachery, tax evasion, and treason. And treason is the only crime that would stick under Roman law. So he was charged with treason, insurrection, if you will. They've attempted that with Donald J. Trump. What we're watching is the continuing glomming on, as I would call it, of charge after charge after charge in districts and in areas of America where you have the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party in charge of the prosecutorial events that are taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, I said that Donald J. Trump is facing the enemy, just as the Lord Jesus Christ did. And according to the scripture that we find in Mark's Gospel, the 15th chapter and the 10th verse, Pilate told the detractors, Pilate told those that were charging Jesus that they were doing it out of envy. The word envy means jealousy. They were fearful of the Lord Jesus Christ, his power, and his position. As a result of that fear, they had Jesus Christ crucified. As a result of the envy, as a result of the fear that Donald J. Trump will be reelected, they're trying to literally, for all facts and details of it, crucify the Lord Jesus, trying to crucify Donald J. Trump. We're watching that take place in real time today. In fact, I'm looking at an article. It says, radical corrupt governments. Trump's arrest is compared to Mandela and Jesus. This is written by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia said Tuesday that the indictment of former President Donald J. Trump was similar to the way Nelson Mandela and Jesus were persecuted and prosecuted. She goes on to say President Trump is joining some of the most incredible people in history being arrested today. Nelson Mandela was arrested, served time in prison. Jesus Christ was arrested and murdered by the Roman government. There have been many people throughout history that have been arrested and persecuted and prosecuted by radical, corrupt governments. And it's beginning today in New York City. And I just can't believe it's happening to America. But I'll always support Donald J. Trump, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in danger as a nation today as never before. We're watching us being demeaned and ridiculed by nation after nation. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast today. Let me remind you that telephone is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the subject today. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing good. God's word and spirit is written on all of creation, and that includes mankind. There's an empty void in our heart that can only be filled through Jesus Christ and our God. These people that are promoting these ideologies of socialism, Marxism, communism, whatever you want to call it, the underpinnings are pure evil. If you look at the instigators of all of this, if you look at their backgrounds, they're either lusting for power, they're covetous for others and personal gain for themselves, or they're perverted and want to carry out their perversions without a godly Christian society that has morals and the underpinnings of law and order within a civilized society, pointing at them and saying, what you're doing is wrong. So the only way that they can go about justifying themselves in the ends to their own means is through the breakdown of society. That includes removing God and Jesus Christ. That includes the breakdown of the nuclear family. That includes the breakdown of the societal order. That includes division amongst a nation. These people are just pure, plain, and simple evil.
Well, Jim, what you just stated is a summary of the major points of Marxism. Karl Marx had developed what I call 10 points of Marxism, and you have to filter through that to come up with a succinct answer. But basically what you see with the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party today is nothing but pure Marxism. And the three major things that I take away from the 10 major points in Marxism and the review of that is the fact that in Marxism, the first thing is to destroy the nuclear family, to divide the people based on ethnicity, and to dethrone God. Those three are the major components of what we see taking place in America today. And Donald J. Trump happens to stand in the way. They're petrified of the potentiality of Donald J. Trump being the 47th president. They're petrified that Trump will come in and, as he has promised, clean the sewer. He thought he'd just clean the swamps when he was in as president 45, but clean the sewer, which must be done. Now, the danger of that, just as we saw when he was in office for a four-year period of time, they impeached him twice. They tried to prosecute him about everything that could be thought of, a simple telephone call to Zelensky in Ukraine. Then they used that as the reason to try to impeach him again because of the riot at the Capitol. He was charged with insurrection. That's still hanging out there as far as the potentiality with that. The whole point is they will use every gimmick and every plan, every possibility to try to destroy President Donald J. Trump because he is the blockade that's been protecting America and our constitutional republic. And Jim, one of the things that most people are not aware of is that this claim now, listen carefully, and then I want your response to it. This major claim, that's 34 charges in the indictment, are the outgrowth of only three things. Each time Trump would write a check or give a check to Cohen, that's one charge. And as the check is given to Cohen, Cohen processes it, that's second charge. When he enters it on his books, that's the bookkeeping that must be perfect in New York, according to the A. Bragg, then it's a third charge. So they've taken about three are four things, and they've stacked them into calling it 34 charges. But what they're not telling the public, and what I find so irresponsible for the socialist Marxist news, is that the appeals court, Ninth District Appeals Court, Ninth Circuit Appeals Court, yesterday, almost simultaneous with the opening of the indictment against Trump, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said that Stormy Daniels must pay $121,972.56 in attorney's fees. The latest order comes the same day that Trump surrendered himself to New York authorities to face arraignment in the connection with the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Brown Bragg's case. It goes further to say Trump's son, Eric, announced the order via Twitter, saying, breaking news. The Ninth Circuit just awarded Trump $121,962.56 in attorney's fees from Stormy Daniels. The order just released. This is in addition to the $500,000 that she already owes him. Now with the $292,245,000, about $700,000 that Stormy Daniels owes Donald J. Trump because of her fraudulent claim that they had had an affair together, and she admitted that it was not so, that Trump has an affidavit signed by Stormy Daniels, her two attorneys, and Trump's two attorneys, witnessed by those attorneys, that she stated in the courts as she was defending herself, and the appeals court finally rendered the decision. They determined that she had lied, that it was in order to be able to get a payment from him, of which he paid just to keep her mouth shut because he didn't want it to ruin his reputation. Now, how do you respond to that? Knowing that now, that very case, that very thing, is what all of these supposed 34 charges are about in the indictment. And yet, looks like any sane court would immediately, after finding that the appeals court just made that ruling, just released that ruling yesterday, any same court, any same judge, looks like would immediately, summarily, drop all charges against President Trump. How do you take that? What's your take on it? What do you think should take place?
Well, I have several opinions here. One is, the first thing that comes to my mind is circus music. You know, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. The second one is I think those that are on the left that are committing these acts are fearing the wrong person there. I don't think I'd fear Donald Trump if I was him. I think I'd find a little, dig a little deeper there, and there's somebody else much, much greater out here to fear.
Absolutely.
The other thing is, Cohen is already a convicted criminal. He is doing this, from the way I have heard, he's doing this to reduce his sentencing that he's currently under right now. So you've got a jail... pardon my vernacular here, but you've got a jailhouse stool pigeon singing to get out of the cage. These charges are not how they're putting them up to a felony when this has to do with a non-disclosure agreement there in a civil court case, and they've been elevated to a charge of felony is beyond me. There is some serious shenanigans going on. That's why the circus music is going through my head. And it sets a bad precedent. So if I want to get even with somebody, I can just become a lawyer now, and I can take my political views and my personal views, and I can use them regardless of what the written law states there. Which is completely wrong. You know, justice is supposed to be blind.
Well, Jim, when you look at Matthew 24 and you understand what takes place in the last days before the rapture of the church, one of the major, 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 and may I repeat at the risk of redundancy, major things that we see is lawlessness in Matthew 24 verses about 9, 10, 11, and 12, right page, right column in my Bible. And that's what we see taking place today. We do not have a dual justice system. We have no justice system. We have no real law taking place in America. We're living in a lawless society today as never before in the history of America. And I find it absolutely difficult to believe that we have devolved to that point, but it's because of allowing this justice system, as it is called, being run by the DOJ with Merrick Garland, that's simply a puppet for the Biden administration, and for the FBI, which are simply puppets for the DOJ, i.e., and for the Biden administration, running rampant ruthlessly over the will of the people and over the Bill of Rights and our Constitution and what we find that should be our freedoms. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you for your
interest. You're spot on with your insight, and I pray that we just keep looking up and realize our redemption is drawing near. I believe I have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
You know, watching the chaos yesterday, I've not seen such an injustice or such a politically used Justice Department, at least not since Dinesh D'Souza was arrested for funneling money to somebody's campaign, you know, straw contributions. They put the man in jail because he was a conservative, because he had, I guess, authored or produced the movies Obama's America 2012, and I think he did a Hillary's America 2016, something like that.
And the 2,000 mules.
But in the 2,000 mules, exactly. And the man was definitely targeted, because plenty of folks on the left that have done the exact same thing have been let off scot-free. And, of course, it's an entirely legal process. If he had just given the money to a PAC and that PAC supported the candidate he wanted to support, that would have been a completely legal. So they took a technical and they put the man in jail on a technical. And then you see, you know, the other kind of injustice where Comey comes out as FBI director and he stands before the cameras and he lists all these felonies that were committed by Hillary Rodham Clinton. And then he said that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. I mean, the woman destroyed 33,000 emails that had already been subpoenaed. When you go through and you bleach bit, that's intended to wash away every bit of evidence, every last speck of evidence on that. You don't do that by accident. You contract to have that done. When you take hammers and smash phones, that's a level of intent. Matter of fact, in court, you can infer the worst possible facts around something like that. When somebody's destroying evidence, you know, whatever they're covering up, you can assume it was pretty bad. And here, this particular case, as you've already stated, it's already been turned down by the Federal Election Commission. They're going, there's no there. And this buffoon steps out and makes a purely political prosecution attempt, only intended to hamstring. And the reality is, we see more and more and more leftist use of the judiciary, of the courts, of the prosecutorial process to bring political vengeance. You know, they're going to use it to let off the hook all of their friends and to persecute and prosecute all of their foes politically. Mm-hmm. That's the worst kind of injustice. It literally stands justice on it. There's nothing that even smacks of, nothing resembles justice when this is done.
Absolutely. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg. Greg resides up in the southern tip of heaven. Greg, how's your weather today?
I don't want to make you too jealous. It's absolutely gorgeous. I'm looking forward to getting right back out in it. But I had to, you know, touch this base today because of the chaos that ensues when injustice prevails. By the way, what's your weather like? It can't be as good as East Tennessee.
I'm looking at the thermometer here, and it says 81 degrees outside.
Oh, you must be liking that.
81 degrees. Greg, let me read you a headline and a brief part of the article, get your take on it. How the Trump indictment imperils the rights of all of us. Dated April the 4th, by indicting President Trump, the New York County prosecutor is infringing on the First Amendment rights of all Americans. Every American has a right to an unfettered debate and campaign by candidates, including President Donald J. Trump, for our nation's highest elective office. This indictment interferes with the 2024 presidential election by hampering the full participation of a leading candidate and the rights of Americans to benefit from his undivided attention to his campaign. The freedom to speak and the freedom to hear are inseparable. They are two sides of the same coin, declared Justice Thurgood Marshall in 1972. Democrats are interfering with the rights of every American to hear Donald Trump without distraction by an improper prosecution. The article further states, the Supreme Court should shut down this and any other criminal prosecution of a prominent presidential candidate. Federal lawsuits based on the First Amendment should be filed by Trump, the Republican Party, and any American voter who objects to this governmental action against Trump. Further, the article states, in conclusion, federal courts have full power to shut down the interference with presidential campaigns by state officials and state courts. No arrest warrant issued by a state official against a leading presidential candidate should be enforceable during the campaign, particularly when an arrest is not needed to protect the safety of anyone in America. How do you respond to that? What is this article really saying?
Well, I'm sitting there analyzing other things as you're reading that, but the reality is no one's in jeopardy here. If Donald Trump committed all the acts that they claim that he's committed, no one's in jeopardy. Matter of fact, when you're pulling money out of your own pocket to pay for something, they say, no, really, you should have used other people's money. Come on, how ludicrous. And on the other side of that same coin, Hillary Rodham Clinton did use other people's money out of the campaign, and out of the DNC in order to create the false Russian dossier that included Russian influence and British influence. How do you like that? Foreign influence in our election campaign and a paid-for dossier that spread disinformation and upset an election cycle, or they attempted to upset an election cycle and actually influence the election of Donald Trump. You see, the exact same thing is playing out today. I should say, different course, same objective. And, you know, perversely, we're seeing history repeat itself, not just over the short term, but over the long term. If you go all the way back to the Declaration of Independence, there was a 33-count indictment against King George. All these things in the Declaration, the cause for the separation, that was an indictment. Those were allegations against King George of things that he had done wrong, and guess what? He did do those things wrong. And one was he had combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. Now, again, those were different times, and there were little different things that were done, but that spells out the same kind of allegation here. They're dragging Trump to a jurisdiction. Yeah, he was in New York. He is not a New Yorker now. Matter of fact, as soon as he ran as a Republican candidate for president, all of a sudden that 99% of New York that loved him began to hate him, because you're dealing with a huge supermajority liberal leftist socialist within New York City. That's the court that he's being dragged into now. And then he'll be dragged into a Fulton County court where it's similarly like a 90% crazy leftist agenda. These are courts, if you will, that have become foreign to our Constitution. They're doing things adverse to our Constitution, adverse to our laws, and it literally mocks our Constitution. Think of what else is going on. Joe Biden, what's he calling for? 78,000, 87,000 new IRS agents? Look further in that indictment. What else did King George do? It says that he has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out our substance. What do you think IRS agents are there for? They're not there to say, hey, we owe you some more money. They're there to take more away from you if they possibly can. And people that can least afford it, people that can be absolutely tormented, those are the people that will be targeted. Because if you're a billionaire, Donald Trump gets audited over and over and over as a matter of political harassment. Sean Hannity gets audited as a matter of political harassment. But they know that these individuals hire lawyers and they hire CPAs, and at the end of the day, they're not the ones preparing their taxes. The CPAs and the attorneys are the ones preparing their taxes. These individuals that hire a swarm of CPAs and attorneys do so to make sure that they can fulfill the gazillion and one laws that we have put upon us in this country, particularly, you know, dealing with the IRS. And they'll not go to jail, but individuals at the lower end of the spectrum, they will be harassed and they will eat out your substance, because that's by design. And of course, they are committing the same offenses that King George did and forced the colonists to a separation. That was not a separation that most of the colonists wanted. They were forced to the table because of the onerous acts, the hateful acts, the vengeful acts of King George that always wanted to keep the colonists under his thumb. Does that sound like today, folks? It does. It does to me.
Absolutely. Greg, one other point that I see this action with the Alvin Bragg and his open illegal persecution and prosecution of President Trump. I see this as a major, and if I can repeat it, major diversion to some of the real problems. As I see it, that's a diversion from watching the fact that we're in a proxy war with Russia and China in Ukraine. We're watching our economy in free fall. Our national petroleum reserve has now been depleted by Joe Biden. India, Iran, and Russia, and China, and North Korea, Saudi Arabia have just joined an agreement to abandon the U.S. dollar in all petroleum products that sold. The Middle East is now exploding internally. Iran continues to come against our military vessels, and Biden is still silent. China controls about 90% of our pharmaceutical-grade drugs in America. About 60% really out of China, and about 30% that is made in India, but 100% of the material that makes the drugs in India come out of China. So China is now squeezing the transport, the exportation of drugs to America. America is about to go digital in the digital currency, which will wipe out all greenbacks in America. I see what is taking place with Donald Trump as a major deflection of the real issues under the Biden administration. I see it as a major diversion to get our attention off what's really happening to implode America. And the Trump problem, as I would call it, the Trump adversarial approach to what Trump is doing is simply the capstone on all of that. What is your take on it? What do you see? Am I on target with my sense of what is happening with that?
We're seeing truly a diversion. When you have the economy falling apart, Afghanistan was a tip-off point. Shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline, Biden shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline that had gone. The permitting and the property acquisition had gone on for decades. Most folks don't understand there is a multi-billion-dollar Canadian lawsuit. The Canadian government is suing the United States of America over that, and we have lost safe transportation of oil that makes the spigot flow more smoothly and keeps the oil prices down more. We know Joe Biden shut down the oil leases for the production of the extraction of oil, which drives the prices up. Then he goes, well, we need to fix this. Just before the election, he starts unloading the strategic petroleum reserve. By the way, that's not for economic strategy. That's for military strategy. He used it at a million barrels a day to see if he could bring the price of oil down a little bit just before the election. All these things are forgotten. The chaos, the criminal activities in New York being ignored. People were being raped and robbed and stolen from, murdered in that community. And those are not being taken seriously. The crime continues to escalate. But Donald Trump paying somebody off years and years ago, perhaps. Now, it's amazing how even Cohen's denied all these things. But that is the pinnacle of importance. The dollar is collapsing today. Mm-hmm. We're seeing
Let's take one moment. Our time is about gone for us today. How should we then live, as Ezekiel 33:10 says? What should we do, those that are listening? What is the point of hope that we have today?
Well, in Timothy, we're called to pray for these folks, and we should. And I would also challenge you, Jeremiah 29:7 gives us kind of an example of the way the Lord sees some of these things. And he said to those Israelites that have been carried away captive, he says, "And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it." Pray for our city. Pray for our state. Pray for our country. And he goes on to say, "For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." So we should pray that the Lord would restore the peace and restore. I pray that He restores our Constitution. I think it was a good Constitution. I think that the Lord ordained and guided and directed our founders to form such a wonderful document.
Greg, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3.